Have you ever wondered why government seems to be the enemy of the people? And I'm not an anarchist, but it just, when you look at history, the longer a government stays in existence, the more corrupt, the more autocratic it becomes. And the people who are under those governments, they suffer. And we're seeing this now in the United States with the rise of devastating oligopolies and monopolies. Oligopolies are multiple monopolies. And we're looking at this right now, and it's unbelievable. We're going to actually get into the Zionist oligopolies in America, and I can't cover it in one segment. But I'm going to cover an aspect of it that should be very, very concerning to you. Very concerning. And we worry about TPUSA having lost its mission under Charlie and now becoming an instrument of Netanyahu. They've been kidnapped. Their mission's been kidnapped. And now they have turned loose an army of social media people. They're paying $7,000 to $11,000 per post. And we have the tape from Netanyahu to prove it, so please don't deny it. And they're attacking people like me and Zach DeGregorio and Candace Owens, and they're basically saying, shut up. Don't ask for an investigation that means anything on Charlie Kirk. We've told you what it is. Now go away and shut up. Sean Hannity echoed that on his show. I think he wrecked his career with that comment. But we're going to look at the Zionist influence in one particular area, but I just want to take you back. It's not just TPUSA. We have had 1,040 pastors of mega churches in Israel being trained to be ambassadors for Israel. And I'm going to, at some time, do a deep dive. Israel was God's chosen people in the Old Testament, tried to get them to the promised land, commissioned Moses with the mission, the burning bush and all that. And that's all factual. That's all true. I have no question about that. But it wasn't until we had the Scofield Bible did it become the mission of the United States to serve Israel. Netanyahu, speaking to the American Congress, Joint House, got 58 standing ovations. More than any other president ever, including all State of the Union addresses. And he said, basically, our survival in the United States depends on Israel, a nation of 9 million people an ocean away. Now, I would advocate for the defense of Israel should they be attacked. But with 400 nuclear weapons in their arsenal, I don't think there's much danger of that. Terrorism? Yeah, but we all face that. We see it all the time. And it's not just confined to a few countries. The horrible tragedy in Australia where having a Hanukkah celebration and 15 Jews were massacred by crazy people who were clearly anti-Semitic. And that does need to be called out. That does need to be dealt with. And Israel's defense should be assisted, but not to where it's the number one priority. And this is what's being demanded of us. Shut up, sit down. We'll spend your money, your tax money, any way we want. And by the way, TPUSA, let me tell you something. When you're a 501c3, I'm paying for your mission. Your mission was once noble under Charlie, but you got greedy and you followed the wrong people, and now you're going to pay the price. I'm Dave Hodges. This is the Common Sense Show. We are the show that's freeing America one enslaved mind at a time. Peter Attia, who I think is the exercise health guru in America, and there's many good ones, but Peter stands out above all others. And Dr. Peter has said, exercise is the best way to reverse all-cause mortality. It's above any medicine. It's above anything we can do. And I agree. But the problem is you have to be able to exercise. And sometimes the pain of exercise will prevent you from doing as much as you want to, or as much as you should do. And I was one of those people with my knees started to buckle up. And I used to have 4% body fat when I was 40 years old. In the off season, I was still playing basketball with my college players that I was coaching. But the knees went south. Well, I found something here a year and a half ago that's reversed all that. And it's the NanoSoma liquid gel. And you put it on your joints, and it's not put it on Monday, and you're okay by Tuesday. We're not going to make any false claims here. It took me, well, I felt difference in about a week, but it was not a big difference. By the time I reached the 6th week, it was pretty amazing. By the time I reached the 8th week, I was symptom free. And today I am symptom free for what I suffered. This grows pluripotent stem cells in the applied area. And that repairs much of the damage. And then you can get back to doing what it is you want to do. Normal household deals, you're doing projects, you can do that. You can carry groceries without pain. You can get out of the chair without pain. But most of all, you can do what you need to do for your body, which is to push it a little bit in the gym or in your home gym. And that's what this has done for me. And it's what you can have done for you. All you got to do is go to iwantmyhealthback.com/Dave Hodges. iwantmyhealthback.com/Dave Hodges. Well, TPUSA is not the only captured organization. We have a problem. We have a big problem with our education system. And the murder of Charlie and the attempted shutdown of people asking serious questions by Zionists, the Zionists within TPUSA, Sean Hannity, ultimate Zionist, Senator Ted Cruz from Texas, same thing when he was on Tucker's show. It's our Christian duty. No, it's not. It's our Christian duty to treat everybody with love and respect. That's our Christian duty. Our Christian duty is not to favor one nation over another. And being against the Netanyahu administration for what they committed in genocide is not anti-Semitism. It's called being for justice, being on the right side of history. History will judge that event. But in our education system, we got a problem. Is the events of Charlie's investigation, from my perspective, and I said this when I was on Jim Fetzer's video presentation series, where he had many, many really good guests. And I came on and talked about Charlie, and I said, the thing about Charlie's death is if there's a silver lining, and it's a small silver lining, it opened up a view of the powers of control in our country that I wasn't as fully aware of as I should have been. And one of them is the Zionist control. I mean, 89% of Congress is on the AIPAC payroll through campaign donations. We should never allow American politician to take a foreign investment. But to add insult to injury, AIPAC doesn't have to register as a foreign lobby. They're the only ones. Every other country, Spain has one, they got to register. Canada has one, they got to register. But not AIPAC. Why? Special privilege? No, the law applies equally or it doesn't apply at all. But here's what we have discovered through delving into China and looking at things that popped up. And what popped up for me was something I didn't know. And being a former educator, I was shocked. Ghislaine Maxwell, Jeffrey Epstein's number one person. Her father, Robert Maxwell, tied to Intel and the Mossad. He owned McGraw Hill. Now, who's McGraw Hill? A monopoly over the textbooks that our kids read. Oh, there wouldn't be any bias there, now would there? But it gets worse. As you go down this rabbit hole and you trace the ownership of McGraw Hill to the present time, because Maxwell's gone, we come across a company called Platinum Equity, and it was founded by a guy by the name of Tom Gorse. He was born in Nazareth. And this man is deeply involved with his company in for-profit prisons, partners with Marilyn Addison, another huge Zionist, big donor to TPUSA, And she's spending $20 million to defeat Thomas Massie because he's not on board with unbridled aid, uncontrolled aid to Netanyahu. So what did Gorse do? Well, he purchased McGraw Hill. So the Zionist influence over our books that our kids read is a monopoly. And you know they're being propagandized. So it's not just the propaganda that they want to execute over TPUSA in their presentations, at their public presentations. It's your duty. It's your duty. To support Israel. No, it's my duty to protect Jewish people from abuse, be an ally to Israel and aid in their defense if needed, but not to be a partner in their foreign wars of imperialism and abuse. That's my duty. And I don't subscribe to the Scofield Bible. It is not a Christian Bible. It takes Christianity and it perverts it to a worldview. I digress. Do you know, by the way, that Mario Madison owns the Dallas Mavericks? This Gores guy, he owns the Detroit Pistons. Why do they own all these pro sports teams? You got the Russian oligarchs involved in the New Jersey Nets. That's pretty interesting, isn't it? Let's get down to Platinum Equity. Besides the textbooks, what they do, they're involved in for-profit prisons. And it's interesting. I just mentioned this not too long ago. We have people being abused in prison that are sentenced to private prisons, and they're working for Fortune 500 companies, making goods, and they're paid pennies on the dollar. And if they don't conform and do what they're told and work abnormal hours and prison becomes a sweatshop, then they lose privileges. Well, for profit, they've lost a very big privilege. Platinum Equity has acquired a company called Securus. Securus Tech is a company that's involved in communications, and they'll use all kinds of different kinds of communications in prisons so prisoners can communicate with their families. Well, on the surface, this looks like a really good idea. We know that people that stay connected with their families while they're incarcerated have a much higher rate of success, and it's kind of an anti-recidivism pill when they get out, and they have a better chance to go on and lead as normal life as possible. The problem is with Securus, there's a twist. They don't allow in these prisons now in-person visits in these privatized prisons. And this is a company that's owned by Tom Gorse. This is really bad, people. They're charging these inmates 21 cents a minute to talk to their families. Many of them don't have the money. And the ones that do, wow. It's a problem because they're being drained of any resources they'd have, or their family has to make up the difference. And many of these people come from poor families. So many people in our prisons today, our privatized prisons, are not having contact with their families because they can't afford the mandated communication. And it gets worse. As I looked into this, there's a 50% kickback to the counties that oversee these organizations of privatized prisons. That's right. And it's all above board. I mean, it's a financial deal. And they guarantee 50% kickback. Now, you can't, as a county official, legally take the money and pocket it, but you can get better office furniture, travel to more conferences in places like Barbados or Maui. Yeah, it's a dirty and dirty deal. And it's treating people subhumanly and separating them from their families if they're not willing to go along with your for-profit scheme. So here we have an organization that propagandizes our young through textbooks and then abuses prisoners and keeps them from one step of important rehabilitation from talking to family members unless they can come up with the money. Whoa, I mean, are you just, this is unbelievable. Let me tell you what else I've learned about how they construct private prisons. And again, this goes back to our Zionist influence. They'll do a study of local school districts and they'll look for the lowest reading scores in the third grade. And they use this as a predictor. And it is an accurate predictor. Who is likely to underachieve in school? And it creates something that I've actually written about, oh, about 12 years ago, called the school to prison pipeline. And it exists. And not being able to read is a big correlated predictive factor involved in this. So they find out where these low scores are, and not too far away, they're acquiring or building a privatized prison. Or if they acquire a prison, they'll convert it to privatization. For a long time, I've been saying privatized prisons should be outlawed, totally outlawed. And they're a monopoly. Oh, and there have been some interesting people involved in these privatized prisons. The Bush family, for one of them. So we look at this, ladies and gentlemen, and I'm looking at my notes here, and this is just unbelievable. There's a company called CC Sasion, sorry, Sasion, and they track your every digital move. Sasion is owned by Platinum Equity. And what I discovered when I looked into this, the banks can't do this, but firms have been approved to do this. Data gatherers can do this, but they purchase information about you, your banking transactions, your internet visits. And mostly they're using it for a profit. They want to figure what to market to you. And we've all had this experience. We're sitting around our table and we're talking to our family about, gee, wouldn't it be fun to go to Florida for vacation? And within 24 hours, all of your computers involved in that conversation that are voice sensitive and voice recognized, they all start getting ads for vacations to Florida. We've all experienced that kind of phenomena. Well, that comes from this company, and this company is owned by Platinum Equity, another Zionist organization. And here's my ultimate fear with this. My ultimate fear is that this information will be used to create a naughty and nice list for the friends of Netanyahu. I don't see how this goes anywhere else with this conclusion. This is not innocent. It's not harmless. This company also, and their related companies, controlled again by Platinum Equity, gets into home ownership and the property tax scam associated with education, which you have never heard about, but you're going to today. There is a gentleman out there named Vexler who's talking about it, but he has not made this link. And I'm not going to claim any great claim to fame here, but I came across this. I cross-checked it. There's no question about it. What Vexler and what I'm going to be telling you about here with the property tax scam and every school bond issue is a scam. Oh, there's official government involvement with this right now at the state level, starting in Texas. I believe there are five states that are looking at this. There's actually legal action that's been filed in Texas, and I believe it's including 1,000 school districts. But I would never, ever, ever vote for a property tax increase to support a school bond ever again. And I'm going to be getting into that in detail, but this is all controlled by these same people. And these people have one loyalty, and it ain't to America. Now, this is where the data took me. I would never have come across this information had I not been researching Charlie. And you know, it's really interesting to me. Why would Kash Patel forbid Joe Kent, Deputy Director for Counterterrorism, Chief Aide to Tulsi Gabbard, Director of National Intelligence? Why would he and Susie Wiles, who worked on Netanyahu's 2023 campaign, why would they deny Joe Kent FBI information to perhaps look at the possible involvement of foreign actors in the assassination of Charlie Kirk? They just forbade it. When I started coming across this kind of information, the light started going on, and all of a sudden it made sense. This stuff was not to be revealed. The thing is, though, is this is publicly available. No one has called me up on the phone and say, Dave, I want to tell you a secret, but you can't use my name. I'm going to be the unnamed source. And this is a big story, and you're going to get lots of clicks. And it's not that way at all. I came across this just through investigating Charlie Kirk. And this opened up a whole nother set of doors. And I'm telling you, people, there is a side of America that you're not aware of. I was not aware of it. And as I've discussed this with some people before I decided to go public with it, I said, how does this sound to you? Except I don't care really how it sounds. It's publicly available. And people said, whoa, this is amazing. I think someone who might have some ideas on this would be my friend John B. Wells. I go on John's show about every 6 weeks. And in fact, actually, his wife Brenda has written a great article on Space Force. We're going to be having her on this Friday. And I'm going to give John a call to see what he knows about this, because he said some things to me. I thought when I was reading this stuff, I said, you know, John has kind of mentioned some sidebars to this before, and I'm going to just see what he knows. I would encourage you, ladies and gentlemen, to keep an open mind, because where I found this, other people are finding other things. The Charlie Kirk thing opened up a whole can of worms that we didn't know existed. And I certainly am not the only one. And I'm glad I'm not the only one. That's how you get silenced. But I'm not the only one that's coming out with information previously unknown. Many of my colleagues are beginning to come across this. But what's interesting is I can see now why Netanyahu, and this is on tape, and people like Tim Pool were at this meeting. Now I'm going to have something to say about Tim Pool today too. But they're paying social influencers $7,000 to $11,000 to attack people like me. Netanyahu is. And that's on tape. And he said, we must win the information war on social media. Well, Netanyahu, I'm already on the side of defending Israel. And I hate your government. I can't wait till your government, I mean, you, and I can't wait until you're replaced. But we already support the people of Israel as an ally. Isn't that enough? Isn't that enough? We've already given that nation over $3 trillion. Isn't that enough? Doesn't that show our loyalty? How far does the domination of America go? Well, if I were to go out and get hit by a bus today, this information is not going to be suppressed any longer, because there are a lot of people. As I called people and they go, Dave, yeah, I'm finding this part of it, and I'm finding that part of it. I said, fine, I'm going to leave alone what you're doing. I'm going to pursue my angle. You pursue yours. And we got to wake the people up as to what's going on. Here's the bottom line. We elected Donald Trump, and we had several coalitions who don't necessarily agree with each other, except on a couple of things. We wanted affordable housing. We wanted control of the border. We wanted the fentanyl to stop. We wanted the economy to get under control and spending to get under control. And we wanted America first in our foreign policy. Okay? And the America first and those principles are what united people from very diverse backgrounds and very diverse interests, and oftentimes not agreeing with each other, but we agreed on these things. And we produced a landslide victory for President Trump. I don't think we're getting our money's worth. We're not America first. If we were America first, we wouldn't be spending the billions of dollars we are doing nothing off the coast of Venezuela. If we were America first, we wouldn't have given $35 billion to Gaza operations for Netanyahu to do what he did. And Charlie called that out, by the way. Something TPUSA doesn't want to hear. That's why they tell us to shut up, accept the official version. We don't want your conspiracy theory. Well, I don't think when Charlie went on Patrick Ben David's show and he said it was genocide in Gaza, I don't think that's Dave Hodges saying that. That was Charlie saying that. And TPUSA wants to bury that. I want America first. We need to do a course correction. I think at his core, President Trump is America first. But he's got a lot of flies in his ointment. We need a purge. And when Netanyahu was receiving those 58 standing ovations in Congress, it was Republicans and Democrats, and this is the only thing they agree on. Are you ready to listen to me now to say in the upcoming primaries with the Republicans, we need to have the toss them all movement surface? We need all new people, minus a couple, but don't make many exceptions because you make too many, you're going to end up with the same horse crap you got in office right now. We need to replace the vast majority of the House and Senate. One third of the Senate's up for election next year, 100% of the House. They all, with maybe five exceptions, need to be replaced in the primary. Now, some of them will run unopposed. We can't do anything about that. But we could take the lesser candidate and say, we won't be any worse off. I mean, you could have Mamdani running against Ted Cruz, and we'd be just as well off with him as we would with Ted Cruz. Are you ready to get started on the toss them all movement? Make this spread. And it doesn't spread. It could spread by an organization. We could have a website. We could have someone in charge of it. And we could be publishing the reasons why Ted Cruz should not be reelected, but he's not up for election. But I'm just using that as an example. We could publish those reasons, and then we could get people in there, right? And what would they do? Well, here's what the responsible thing to do is. Number one, it's a imprisonable offense, 5 years and a $1 million fine for any individual accepting foreign money who's running for political office. That includes AIPAC and every other foreign entity. Number two, we outlaw all corporate campaign donations. Number three, we take campaign donations and we limit them. How much can one individual limit? And if someone's caught doing the Act Blue thing, okay, they go to prison. Plain and simple. We just turn the investigators loose on it that discovered the Act Blue situation, which was mostly at that time Project Veritas. What else should we be doing? No dual citizenship in Congress. You're either an American or get the hell out. That's what needs to happen. These are the changes we need. And then we need to have line item vetoes where a president doesn't have to accept a bill in its entirety. Also, too, we need to put a limit on bills because if they go over 5, 10 pages, nobody reads them. Do you know right now we have a confiscation written into a bill that was passed last Tuesday, and the confiscation is for precious metals and food? Did you know that? Yeah, we're preparing an investigation on that. I'm confident in telling what I'm telling you. I don't know that I have enough of the receipts on the details yet. I need to go through this 1,500 page plus bill. We need to limit these bills, and bills must be limited to one issue only. You don't get to vote on one issue and sneak in three other horse crap issues. These are the things that we need to do to reform our government. And we need to do it with new people because the old people are making too damn much money on a corrupt system. And starting the first day of the next term after the election, insider trading is imprisonable by the same laws that would put you and me in prison for doing the same thing. Martha Stewart would probably have a party at her house, although she was never convicted of that. The FBI lied and said she lied to them, unfortunately. She talked to them without a lawyer. That's why she went to prison. Oh, and the other thing is too, we strip down the CIA to its bare bones and rebuild it with oversight. And we do the same thing with the FBI. No stone left unturned in either one of those organizations. And when we do things like that with a new Congress, then we can start going about being America first again. I'm Dave Hodges. This is the Common Sense Show. Make sure you check out our TV show. We got a whole lot of new stuff up there. Some hiding in plain sight stuff, right? You know, we've talked about what that is. Also, to our geopolitics, people love it. The CommonSenseShow.tv is where you want to go. And we'll see you back here next time. Hello, America. Dave Hodges here. I am the host of the Common Sense Show, and we are the show freeing America, one enslaved mind at a time. And we exist to right the wrongs, call attention to what's going on so you can best prepare. Our priorities are Jesus, family, America, in that order. We make no apologies for those associations. And if anybody finds those offensive, I mean, there's other options you can go to. But we are, I think, well-intentioned. And we look to help better people's lives by spreading information. And one of the pieces of information we're going to spread here in this particular segment is the abject and absolute dumbing down of America. It is disgusting what's going on in our public schools. Now, there are some private charter schools that are taking no crap. No crap. Kids are dressing in uniform. I'm not necessarily on board with that, but the kids are dressing in uniforms. There's standards for homework. There's standards for academic performance. And there's really standards for behavior. And I'm going to illustrate that here in this story. The net effect of what school boards and administrators are forcing teachers to do is contributing to the dumbing down of America. And last night, I went to an annual party with former colleagues of mine that I used to teach high school at many moons ago. These are great people, many of them now retired, some of them near the end of their careers, and they were almost every one of them fantastic individuals, cared about kids, were really, really good people, and they're so distressed about what's happening today in our schools. And some of you, if you're not there, you are going to be caught off guard by what I tell you about just how bad it is. When President Trump says, "I want to drain the swamp," my goodness gracious, the swamp is right there in our schools. And let me get to that here. But first, we're brought to you by My Patriot Supply. Now, a lot of people say, "Dave, I've seen the ads before that you've done, and you've had a long affiliation with My Patriot Supply, and they seem to be a good company, but some of the prices are beyond my reach." I get that. So this particular piece here is for those on a limited budget that want to simply add to and add a safety valve, because if we go into a war, if we have a natural disaster, I mean, the supply chain is going to be the first thing to go, and your food will last about one day in the grocery stores. And that's not an exaggeration. Hurricane Katrina, Hurricane Harvey, I mean, showed all that. So you need to be prepared ahead of time. And so what I want to show you here are some things that I think that you really, really want to look at here. Let's take a look at something here. Outdoor meals. 11-pack sampler, okay, 22 servings, beef and mushrooms and a cream, and you get 22 servings for $133. Are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? This is absolutely amazing. And if you ever had to bug out and take your stuff with you, would you think you'd have to start a fire? Probably. Okay, look at what you get here. This is amazing. Fire starters. And you look at all of these great products here, and I'm going to click off of this now and go back to the main page. Let me show you a little higher end volume here, but this is really interesting too. Look at this mac and cheese pack. Okay, 6 pouches, 24 servings, $17.95. $17.95. Worried about nuclear war and need potassium iodide, anti-radiation tablets? Look at that. 130 milligrams, 180 of them, 3-pack, under $60. You go and buy that, you know, out of a survival store, you're going to pay three times that price. This is absolutely phenomenal here. And I look at this and I go, man, this is absolutely incredible. But these are some really, really inexpensive values. Now, if you're looking for higher end here, okay, if you order $200, like 1 month supply, you're going to get $25 off. $500, the 90-day, you're going to get $75 off. There's something for everybody here, and you need to add to your pantry. Absolutely need to add to your pantry. And I would recommend doing it now while you wished you had done it if it's too late. Go to preparewithdave.com. That's preparewithdave.com. Well, the schools today, a good number of them are contributing to the dumbing down of America. Our test scores are in the toilet. Many states are even doing without state-mandated testing because they don't want the public to know what a crappy job they're doing educating our kids. And teachers are leaving in droves. They can't take it anymore. They want to teach. They want kids to learn. And kids are put in a system where there's no discipline about the phones. Okay. Were you ever bored in school but forced to pay attention and learn something? Okay. But if you had your phone as a distraction, you never have to be bored again. Kids lack patience. They lack discipline. They want instant gratification. And it's the phone and the tablet that have done this. We used to say the average attention span of an American, this is going back about 70, 80 years, was about 20 minutes. And if you were a teacher, you can't really instruct more than 20 minutes. Then you got to do some interactive engagement activities. Then that number got reduced about 20 to 30 years ago to 12 minutes. And that was the distance of time between TV commercials. Today, you're lucky if you can get 3 minutes. And I'm being very serious about this because, well, you see that red light. Oh, we got to see who's contacting us. But it's also the idea that you never have to sit idly and be bored, ever. And this also prevents things like self-reflection, plugging yourself into the material, and using your imagination. And most teachers are pretty good at making real-world examples. Problem is, the real-world example for this kid is what's on their phone, unrelated to what's being taught. And the administrators won't enforce it because you would have to ban the phones from coming into the classroom with a problem student that abuses the privilege of just carrying the phone. They won't do that. Very few schools will do that. It's a little tap on the finger is your discipline. This is what the people told me last night. I am so glad that I'm out of it. I can't recommend this profession to anybody unless you go to work in a school that says we pride ourselves on student achievement. And we'll get to that in just a minute. But let's also go a little deeper into other things that happen. In the district where I taught for a while, it was a pretty high achieving district. I mean, we produced judges and psychiatrists and professors. And I still know some of these people, professional athletes who are also good students. Had one kid who played for me, was a 4-year starter at Stanford on their basketball team, played professionally. And he was, I think, a 3.8 GPA. Yeah, exactly. We produce kids like that, and they weren't uncommon. Today, that same district has policies like you have no standards for due dates. You can do everything on the last day of the semester, and the teachers are required to grade it and record it and count it without penalty. If you fail a test, you automatically get to do a retake. Do you get to do that in the real world? If you're out there in the workforce and you fail miserably in something that was assigned to you and this falls back on you, your job is in jeopardy. Can you imagine if employers work like this? Oh, that's okay. Go ahead and do it again. What would happen to their profits? And if you had enough of your workforce being that lazy and incompetent and negligent, you'd be out of business pretty quickly. We're not teaching workplace discipline. And I heard this from teacher after teacher after teacher after teacher. And then there were a couple administrators there. Were friends of mine, a school board member was there that I knew pretty well. And they were shaking their head about how it's declined. And this system is being forced upon them by liberal administrators at the top and school board members, let's say, that have outside interests that are influencing their decision making. We've seen that in Loudoun County, Virginia, for example. We've seen that loud and clear. But it's not just confined to Loudoun County, it's across the country. Lady told me she's now retired. And she told me about her grandkids. And this was coming up on COVID. And this district took a really ultra liberal view. Can't be in school when many surrounding districts did have their kids in school. And then these kids had all these restrictions when they were let back in that other districts did not have. And so the mom of the kids, my friend's daughter, took the kids out and put them in a private school, a charter school. They had discipline. Let me give you an example of the discipline story she told me. Teacher called the office and says, "Hey, Johnny's got to be removed." Security would come with the administrator, they'd remove the kid. They didn't discuss the offense. They didn't ask the teacher what was wrong. They simply sat the kid down and said, "You're going to stay in here today. And if you ever come back here again, we don't want to hear your excuse. If you ever come back here again, you'll be dismissed from this school." Do you think those kids comply in that school? You're darn right. Well, anyway, the kids, mistake made by the mom, but she corrected, she put them back into the same district. And they started experiencing these newfound liberal policies of dumbing down, no due dates, retesting, lax behavior, can't discipline for phone use, or just total chaos. And the girl starts saying, "I don't have to do my homework tonight. It's not due to the end of the semester." Well, their mom pulled them out of school and put them back in where they had been before, where they were stellar students. This is the contrast. And your task as a parent and an advising parent is to advise those around you and also make sure your kids are in an environment where they are held to account. Now, my son went to one of these schools in this district back when it was normal. And the reason I did that, because there was an inconvenience involved because we had moved. But I knew I could pick my son's teachers, and every one of them was outstanding in what they did. I don't mean good, I mean outstanding. And because I knew the counselors, they granted me the "I want this period with this teacher." My son got a great education and he shined and graduated with honors from college. You can have that effect by choosing the right school. Now, let me show you something here. Okay, this is a bell curve distribution. And in this bell curve distribution, you've got people that are 50% above the mean. That's the average, and that score would be 100. Then you go out to a significant break in performance. Think of the mean at 100 like a C. When you go to 115, that would be one standard deviation above the norm. That would be a B. If you go the other direction to 85, one standard deviation below the mean, we could loosely and metaphorically categorize that as a D. And then, of course, on an academic scale, 70 would be an F. 70 is mentally challenged on IQ scores. 130 here would be an A, and that's where the gifted starts and you get the genius and so forth. Okay, now, this curve is shifting. America's IQ has dropped, and I did a report on this sometime back, and now with the school policies, we're even going to see a latent effect that's even going to dramatically drop the IQ scores even more. Let's take a look at what I had to say a couple of years ago.
Okay, we have struck gold and we still are having trouble pulling up our data set. So let me put you on pause for just a moment and
We'll come
we
into
will
here with
bring
it.
this back up. I promise.
Here we go.
All right, technical issue aside, thank you for your patience. Why are American IQs dropping so dramatically? Yes, we are becoming dumber and it is validated and verified. And I'll give you the citations from two universities here in just a moment. But let's take a look at dumbed down population. It's a more easily managed population. So the hypothesis I'm entering this into is, are we becoming dumbed down? Okay, that's the hypothetical question. And we're also going on the known fact that dumbed down, ignorant people are more easily manipulated, more easily going to accept things like smart cities, no travel, three items of clothing a
Yep,
year.
exactly.
Now, we've been through this before. In the Dark Ages, Catholic sermons were given in Latin. So the average person, well, you could go and you could cross yourself three times and Hail Mary, da, 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 da. Okay, you get the idea. Okay, they go through the sacraments. But they didn't understand what the hell was being said because it was in Latin and they weren't educated in Latin, only the privileged people were. Today, the equivalent would be we have withheld technology. And we have dumbing down education programs and AI and smart devices are greatly contributing to our dumbing down. We're going to get into that too. Now, intelligence is measured by IQ scores. So I want to teach you a little bit about IQ scores here. And this is where you get to be my psychology student for about 5 minutes. First of all, when we measure IQs and categorize them, are they smart or are they not so smart? Are they genius or are they really mentally challenged? Okay, we do this on a bell curve application. The range of an IQ test is 0 to 200. Now, no one really has a zero IQ unless they're dead. Well, wait a minute. I may have dated one when I was younger, but 0 to 200 is the range. 100 is the average score. That's the mean. The median is 50% above, 50% below is also 100. The most commonly occurring score in IQ testing is 100. That's the dead set average IQ. So it's the mean, the median, the mode. If you have any kind of math background, you'll know what I'm talking about. All right, now, between 85 and 115 on IQ scores, 66.67% fall between those two parameters. We call them standard deviations from the norm. Okay, but between 85 and 115, two-thirds of the population fall. So we call that the average range, although 85 IQ is significantly less than 100, and 115 is significantly smarter than 100. Think of it this way. If 100 was a C, a 115 would be a B. Now, this is a rough analogy. If you went the other way, an 85 would be a D, a 70 would be an F, 130 would be an A. And then you have various degrees of A's as we move up. We have gifted, we have genius. Okay, so you get the idea there. Okay, now 2% of the population are judged to be genius, 2% are mentally challenged. That's what we mean by the bell curve. Okay, now a couple other facts about IQ. IQs are generally fixed by the age of 12, but there's a lot of variability that can happen when you're young. If you're abused, if you were locked in a closet growing up, chained in your basement, like we hear these horror child abuse stories, IQ can be significantly developed, and we go through something called critical stages of learning. And if we don't learn something when we're supposed to learn it, like how to read, how to speak, and so forth, we may not learn it as well, and we may not learn it at all. Critical stages of learning, really, really important. So environment, if you had Einstein and he had an abused background, he wouldn't have been the Einstein that we know and appreciate today from the world of physics. Okay, now, this brings up a fundamental question. If the globalists are manipulating our IQ, which I contend they are, to make us dumber, they're dumbing us down. We have to first answer the question, is IQ a factor of heredity or is it a factor of environment? Well, the answer is both, but there's also a big matter of degree, and we come to a very important conclusion. Now, this is what I used to teach my intro to psych students when I taught that subject. And we talked about intelligence, and I presented this chart from Jensen, who did the Jensen IQ studies. And he looked at different relationships of people, a long-term study. Really fascinating study. Identical twins. Okay, identical twins are same genes, chromosomes split into two. Okay, so one egg goes to two, but they're carbon copies of each other unless there's a birth defect, right? Okay, now they're reared together. So you have the same genetics, identical twins. You have the same environment reared together. But wait a minute. A perfect correlation is 1.0. 0.7 is where it gets strong. With 0.4, 0.5, you say there's some relationship there, not real strong. Okay. And then you can go to zero, no relationship. And then you can go to negative correlation where one measure goes up, the other goes down. Okay. But correlation doesn't necessarily imply cause and effect. Now you're probably thinking, well, wait a minute. Identical twins reared together should be 1.0. Perfect, right? Highest you can get in correlation. They're really alike, but do identical twins always have the same experiences? No, they can have different friends, different opportunities. Okay. So that's the 0.87, but it's very high. Now, here's what's interesting. Identical twins reared apart. So they're split at birth for whatever reason. Okay. Grandma Bessie raises one and Aunt Donovan in another country raises another, and they never meet, but we find them and we test them. University of Minnesota did landmark studies on this. And they found a really high correlation between the intelligence of one twin and another even when they were raised in completely different environments. That's starting to give you an idea that genetics is very, very important. Now, siblings reared together, that's kind of a control. Brother and sister, their IQs are 0.53 on correlation. They're similar, but not real strong. Now, here's what's interesting, too. Unrelated people reared together. Well, you'd expect that number to be zero if it was all genetics, right? Reared together, that's environmental. Now, this is interesting. The 0.23 gives you an environmental-only reading. Now, unrelated is reared apart, 0.05, and you go, Dave, that should be zero. No, because in America, do we not have common information? We listen to a lot of the same music. We watch the same movies. We watch the same misinformation from mainstream media, right? We have a similar culture with cultural attributes that contributes to making our IQs a little bit alike. Not very much, but a little bit. Now, the best case for hereditary influence on IQ is identical twins reared apart, 0.75. The best case in this chart for environmental influence on IQ are unrelated as reared together. So what's the conclusion here? It's pretty obvious. If you compare the 0.7 to the 0.23, it's roughly about a 3-to-1 relationship. So what we know, minus abuse early in life, before the age of 12, we know that heredity is about 3 times more important than environment. But environment is a big contributor. Now, can they affect genetics? Well, depends who you read about the vaccines.
Okay? Yeah.
I'm not going to go.
And that's true. And there are medications. And there are.
And I do think more research needs to be done. But DNA manipulation could affect
hyper. Okay. Now, let me go into. There are certain medications you can take, even certain foods you can take that can bring on dementia. There's research coming out about that now. We know about pro-diabetes and its effect on cognitive decline later in life. So there are factors where it crosses over. But basically what we have is a relationship of 3-to-1. Heredity is 3 times more important than environment. But when your school environment is undisciplined, and discipline is the first building block for learning, you have to be focused in your attention to learn something. You need to be given the opportunity to work with the material related to the real world. Again, that requires more focus and application based on what's been taught. Well, when there's no discipline in the environment and the inmates are running the prison, well, then we're taking that 25% of environmental variability and cutting into it. So let's just say, for example, maybe someone loses 10% of their environmental potential for IQ development because their schools stink in the early parts and developmental parts of their life before the age of 12. Take 10% off an IQ test, and a 100 average IQ kid becomes a 90. And that's a significant drop. If the environment's strong, that 100 IQ kid under normal circumstances might become 110. And I'm just using this as an example, not to be applied in all situations, but when we allow our schools to become bastions of lack of discipline, okay, teaching the woke ideology and not the 3 R's, not testing kids, not holding, testing kids for their standards and what they've learned, this is really disturbing. Now, are all schools that are public on? No, but too many of them are. And when I hear something like there are no standards for makeup, there are no failures that are allowed to happen, I'll tell you, we learn more from our failures than we do from our successes. And that research is really clear on this. So what we have are a lot of schools are bastions of lack of success. Plain and simple. So what do you do? Back to what I said earlier. Every parent, every grandparent needs to become an instrument of the truth. In other words, find the school where kids are held accountable. Reinforce your child's learning. Reinforce the discipline coming from the school. You don't allow abuse, but discipline is good. Johnny stayed in from recess because he didn't turn in his spelling homework, and we made him do it then. That's appropriate. That's appropriate. That's perfect. It's not abusive punishment. It's correcting with a purpose. We don't have that in a lot of our schools. Find the ones that do, so the ones that don't go broke and out of business. The dumbing down of America. I'm Dave Hodges. This is the Common Sense Show.